Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
You have your Bibles, want to follow along. I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Very, very spiritual book, the book of Ephesians. As I got on the plane last Saturday in Indianapolis and sit there and getting ready to take off. It's been a while since I've been on a plane. It's been quite a few years. But it always amazes me how you're sitting there and then they take off and they reach the speed before they go airborne. It seems like you're flying on the ground, and then as soon as you hit the speed to go airborne, it's like you're just floating. Everything just slows down. But anyway, I just like it, enjoy it. But as I was sitting there, and you know, you got to turn off all your devices for a while, but I got on my phone, I got the Bible on my phone, and anyway, I come across this scripture here and started reading it. And it didn't take long until the tears filled my eyes. And I tell you, it made me see what a great privilege it is to be a child of God and what lies ahead for us. Amen. We are blessed people, I tell you, above all things. God has redeemed us, saved us, and changed us. And we have this great promise and this great hope. That's not a fantasy. It's not something that's unreal, something that's not attainable, but it's reserved in heaven for us. Amen. Let me read this. I want to read the first 14 verses here. It said, "And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ." I'm glad he added that. "Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen. "According as he has chosen us in him," listen, "before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption," hear it, "of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us acceptable in the beloved," that's Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will according to the good pleasure which he had promised or proposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray, God, this morning for your help, Lord. There's no way, God, that we could preach or do anything, Lord, or say anything that would be any value without the Holy Spirit's help. I pray, Lord, to pray for your help. Feel weak this morning spiritually. May God, you touch me to interpret this word, God, today. Lord, for without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now, Paul, in this epistle, Paul was seeking to present the church as members of Jesus' body, professing the closest relationship with him and with each other. Now remember, there are Jewish Christians here in this church, and then the Gentiles. Amen. So there's two different types of people here in this church at Ephesus that Paul had established. But the theme of the letter is the theme through the letter, first, believers compose the body of Christ. So all believers that Paul was stressing here are the body of Christ. And secondly, that both Jews and Gentile Christians share the same empathy in God's family. Both stand before him on the same common ground of grace. Jesus had made the Jewish and Gentile believers into one new man. Amen. Praise God. This morning I was thinking about this, and I thought about, I always go back to that time where God told Abraham that through your loins, through your people, through your children, all the nations of the world would be blessed. Amen? Huh? Think of the nationalities today, all the different people and all the different cultures and all the different denominations and everything around. Amen? But all would be blessed through Abraham. Huh? Through Abraham's seed, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for that this morning. Huh? Because, you know, the Jews were God's elected people. Huh? He elected the Jews to be his people and brought them out, my friend. Huh? He told Abraham, to leave your family and go to a place that I'll show you where you'll inherit this place, and I'll bless you, and I'll bless your family and your descendants. And that's the Jewish people. Amen. And that was a dispensation of time. Huh? And as time went on, amen, and Christ came out of the loins of Abraham, huh? Listen, huh? The Gentiles came in, you and I. Who are not Jews, huh? But are Gentiles, my friend. Listen, the Bible says that the Gentiles were the chosen people. Amen. And I'm glad for that this morning. We'll read that here. It says it in the reading. The chosen people. Amen. And I tell you, I was thinking about that, what a great blessing it is. You see, when Christ came, there's so much in here that I can't get it all out. But anyways, when he came, you know, the Jews rejected him. Huh? He wasn't the Messiah that they thought
was supposed to come. He wasn't no ruler, no king, no mighty power. That's what they were looking for. And they never accepted him. They rejected him. And the rejection, the Gentile world benefited from it. Amen? Benefited from it. God knew all this was going to take place, my friend. But it was all through Christ. Amen? And him coming into the world, to bring forth this one new man. I thought about this here. Let me go back. And it said here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I want to tell you something this morning. Paul was a Jew of Jews. Paul knew the law inside and out. He knew it from the beginning and to the end. He knew the scripture. He knew what was written on the scrolls, my friend. He was a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews. But I want to tell you something happened to him when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. My friend, he was changed, my friend, and became a completely different person. And God called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen? To a people that were not even a people. Before Christ came. That's where you and I come in. Amen? Paul was a perfect example, of being chosen, being predestinated, to be the future inheritance of this heavenly kingdom. Amen. Let me go back here. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing, listen, that we have this morning in our personal lives is from heaven. Amen. It's from God, the God of heaven. Heavenly places is where these blessings come from. They're not of the world, but they're of God. They're the blessings of God. And they came because of Christ. Amen. Christ is the one that brought it. Everything that God does, listen this morning, He does it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly blessings. Amen. In Christ. Listen, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Amen. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His, to the good pleasure of His will. Amen. Now think about that for just a minute. Predestination. Let me read you what it says about what it is here. Amen. Predestination is to mark out in advance or choose before. God chooses those He knows that will participate in His plan of salvation and extends it to who will respond to it in faith. The doctrine of predestination is scripture related to the foreknowledge of God. Paul was an example of this. Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. God called Paul out of his work against the church and brought about Paul's conversion. Listen, knowing Paul would be a preacher to the Gentiles and would suffer great things for the work of the gospel, he knew that Paul would be willing and faithful to go through everything that he went through. Amen. Predestination. Huh? He is God. He knows all things. He knows who's going to serve Him. He knows who's going to worship Him. He knows who's going to stay true to Him to the very end of this thing. We don't know that as people. Huh? We're not God, we're just humans. Huh? We don't know who's going to get saved or who's not going to get saved. Who's predestinated to heaven and who's not. But God knows who He is. Amen? Amen. This is kind of hard to understand, but if you look at it and you think about it, huh? And I thought about it personally in my own life, huh? That He has predestinated me to be a Christian, huh? According to this word this morning, huh? And has called me out, my friend, huh? To be His. I tell you what, when I read that, my friend, huh? I want to be ready. I want to stay true. Listen, to the very end of this thing. Amen. Huh? Because the reason is, I'm human. I have a choice. I can do whatever I want to. I can go on and be faithful and trusting in God and depending on Him for everything. Or I can give up and go the other way. Huh? But I'm glad that God called us. Amen. Huh? What did it say there? Called us out. Huh? Predestinated us, huh? And adopted us, huh? Adoption, huh? Brought us into the family of God, huh? Where we didn't deserve it, huh? We don't deserve this salvation that we have this morning, huh? But it's because of God's great love and the price that Christ paid on the cross to redeem us. Amen. Adoption. Adoption. Adoption is the salvation experience we all have as believers through Christ. When someone is illegally adopted by another person, it takes the authority away, listen, from the natural parents where the child is no longer theirs, but is the property of the one that adopted them. So by law, the natural parents have no power over them, no say-so on how they are raised. They are loosed from all their rights to that child. Do you get that? The natural, huh, parents of a child, huh, that has all the rights to that child, when they give that child up for adoption by the law that we have in the land, huh, they lose all their rights to that, what I just read. Huh? And whoever adopts them, huh? They are theirs according to the law. The only thing that's not there is the natural, huh, parenting. But by law, huh, they are the parents of those who adopted them. Thank God for adoption, because I'm telling you what, there's some horrible parents, huh, across our land today. Huh? Mandy's in that process right now, trying to adopt that little girl. Pray for her that she will. Huh? Listen. Naturally, I'm spiritually speaking now. Naturally, amen, we belong to the world. And we belong to sin. Huh? And a sinful life. And a life that we live for ourselves and not for God. But thank God we heard the gospel of our salvation and we believe that, my friend, and we become converted and trusted in Christ, my friend, and we became, my friend, adopted into the family of God. And the devil, listen to me this morning, has no say-so of who we are. But we're under God's control and God's authority. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah for that! Amen.
Amen.
Predestinated. He already knew. And now he's adopted us and brought us in. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Praise God. Woo. To his praise and glory. Amen. In his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. I want to tell you what. That song, Amazing Grace, it don't get any better than that. This grace is so amazing. This grace of God is so amazing. I tell you what, it is the undeserved, the unmerited. We don't deserve none of it, but thank God, my friend, this grace, he's called us out of the world and to be his child and be in this family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. This amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I tell you, that old song, my friend, is about the conversion of a soul. How was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears of thee. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. I want to tell you what, that was old time conviction on the songwriter's soul. I knew I was lost. I knew I was headed to hell. I tell you, that grace, I feared it. I know I experienced it. I feared it. But the same grace that taught me to fear, relieved my. I become a child of God. When we've been there 10,000 years, I tell you, can't put a price on this grace of God. Amen. And it's all through Jesus. He's the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. I want to tell you something. We sung the song this morning, and every time we sing those songs, I think about that. Especially my Savior's love. Said he took my sins and my sorrows. He took my life. He took everything in my life from the beginning of it as a new little baby. I'm talking about my human life, down to my last breath. You hear me this morning? Down to my last breath. He knows all things that will happen to you and I in our personal lives, everything we'll go through. He took it all and put it on himself. Laid it on himself. No wonder he sweat great drops of blood in the garden. That's what the songwriter said too. He sweat drops of blood for mine. For my sorrows and for my sins and for my trials and my tribulations in this life. He made them his very own. And bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I lost my train of thought. Hallelujah. The redemption that he paid through his blood, wherein he had abounded towards us in wisdom and prudence. Now Paul here, he's talking about him as an individual, what his responsibility was. I thought about this too. You know, the preacher and the preaching of the gospel is something that, I don't know, it's a calling that's different than anything else. Believe me, I can tell you that. But it's of God, and God is the one that instructs us as preachers, as men of God. He gives us wisdom and prudence. Amen. You know, you see, and I want to read that. I want to give you the definition of that here in a minute. Paul, The Jews, their belief was, they didn't like the Gentiles. Their belief was they were the called people. They were the elected people. Okay? And the Gentiles, they had no business. Huh? They had no calling, no election, no chosen, in this to be in God's family. To be a partaker of the God of heaven. It was the Jews only. But Paul had to explain this to them, that Christ is the Messiah and the redeeming, the redeeming Christ is the one that has, it is no longer by the law, but by faith. Let me get that out. And the Gentiles, who already knew they were no children of God, Paul had to have wisdom and prudence to preach to them that they are the chosen and the called of God. Amen? To bring them together. I'll tell you what, it takes your words. It means so much. Huh? Just the words you say to people or how you present yourself or however you conduct yourselves and the words you say. I don't care what you do, your actions. But I tell you what, your words will stay with people. You hear me? They'll stay with people. So Paul had to have the wisdom and the prudence and the apostles. That's what he's talking about too. The disciples and all these ministers that God had called. Wisdom. That which makes men judge what are the best? What are the best at the ends? Let me say that again. That which makes men judge what are the best ends. And what's best means to attain them. And gives a man advantage of the counsel and direction. Prudence is wisdom applied to practice. Or that discreet, appointed setting as well, suiting as well as action as words. In their due place, time, and manner, every minister of Christ needs these still. And if he abideth not under the influence of both, not only is his prayers, but his ministry labors will not be hindered. So it's the wisdom that we have to have and the prudence to bring it forth to people. Amen. And God and Paul thank God for that. Huh? That the Lord had blessed him. My lens, friends. Huh? The people that he went into, the cities. And the towns and the cultures that he was in and what he was preaching in. Huh? There's no way humanly, he could present himself in the gospel without the power of God revealing things to him. Huh? How do you speak to a people, that are so ignorant and unlearned that know nothing about it? You gotta adapt. You gotta be able, to relate to them. And bring out, the purpose and the meaning and the reason why you're there. I'm just about done. I need to quit here. Amen. So he did. He gave them that in a dispensation of time, in the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, even in him. And it said here, in whom also we have, listen to this. Here's the other blessings that I want you to comprehend this morning. First of all, we were predestinated. We were chosen. Listen, think of this. I want you to think of it because it'll help you spiritually. It'll help your faith. Okay? These things are not just words. They're true. He's called us out. He's adopted us in his family. Listen, and he's given us an inheritance in heaven. Huh? Think about it this morning. Huh? No wonder the saints are praise God. Huh? I don't know. I think the church has probably got away from this. Huh? I thought about reading this and looking at it and trying to study it. Huh? My Liz, this is something that I need to really look at. Huh? Not just read it and bypass it, but think about the privileges, huh, that we have as Christians this morning. Huh? The benefits and the inheritance that we have, huh, in Jesus Christ. Amen. No wonder all the saints, the saints of old, the saints that were in this church, no wonder they ran and shouted and praise God and acted crazy at times, huh? Because they were full of it. They were full of the Spirit. They seen, they looked into God's Word, into the promise, and what they was and where they came from, huh? So they rejoiced and praised God, huh? This is not it, huh? This is not the final place, my friend, huh? Listen, we're looking for the things, my friend, that are not seen, but the things that are unseen. Amen? Huh? Praise God. However, huh? An inheritance. Let me get down to that. And also whom we obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Amen? Peter said there, let me find that verse here. Peter said, he said that it was an inheritance. I can't find it, but he said 1 Peter 1 4. He said this is an inheritance that is incorruptible and fadeth not away. Huh? What Jesus say? Huh? Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth. Huh? We're moth and rust. Does corrupt. Huh? Where you know those earthly things is what he was talking about. Don't put all your treasures and your heart in them. Huh? Because they're going to rust away. They're going to fade away. Huh? And then in reality, huh? They're not saved because thieves break through and steal. Huh? How many people are getting their credit cards and their debit cards? Huh? And all that being stolen? Hmm? That stuff's not secure, huh? And that's what Jesus was saying. Don't store up treasures here, but store it up in heaven, huh? Where moth and rust and thieves do not break through and steal, huh? It's secured in the Master's hands this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. An inheritance. Amen. Sit here. Get down here to the last one. 13th, in whom also we trusted. After we heard the word of truth, we trusted in that. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Huh? This was the first step right here. This is what took place in our lives when we believed in Christ and were converted. Then all this started taking place. Amen. We realized we were adopted, we're chosen, adopted, and now we have this inheritance. Amen in Him. Let me read this to you. This is when the Christian journey started for us, when we heard the truth of the gospel and believed it for our personal salvation. After we believed, we were sealed, listen, with the Holy Spirit. It was a custom, listen to this, it was a custom in Bible times that when a person purchased something that he had bought, he marked it with his seal, all right? Somehow they done this. They sealed it to prove that that was what they purchased.
said here, and to show that it was his good, and that he owned it, and it was what he had bought. So it was nobody else's but his. He purchased that. When we were born again of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came alive, listen, inside of us, and this is the seal, amen, that we belong to God through the blood of Christ, who had purchased us for our salvation. Amen. Listen to this. I didn't know how to analyze this, and then I'm going to quit. This is our ticket to heaven, our inheritance. It was the cross that paid the price for our ticket to get into heaven. And when we believed in Christ and trusted in Him as our personal Savior, listen, the Holy Spirit gave us that ticket to heaven, which is the seal that the price was paid for our ticket to get into heaven. Amen. And when we die, when the saint dies, he goes to heaven. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our dead bodies that will be put into the graves will have a bodily resurrection. Amen. I want to tell you something. No, I'm done. I got to quit. We're marked for heaven. The Christian's marked for heaven today. We're sealed, huh? Through the blood of Christ. Amen. Praise God. We're on our way. Amen. Like I said, the rapture could take place at any time. And I don't predict nothing. Fools did. Fools predict when Christ will come back. Huh? But I want to tell you something. I thought about this for some reason. This war that's going on now has been sticking with me. I've been trying to follow it and watch it. But, you know, the conditions are getting very ripe for Christ's return. Huh? So the world's in a mess. Huh? But I want to tell you something. I'm glad we're sealed. I'm glad we're marked. I'm glad the ticket's been bought. Huh? And we're going to go to heaven. Huh? We'll go to heaven. Huh? And when the rapture takes place. Huh? Or if we die before that, we're going to heaven. Because we got a ticket that Christ purchased on Calvary for us. Amen? You know the questions always ask. They ask this a lot. Well, a few times I've heard it. What about those people that Christians and they died? Instead of being buried, they were cremated. Huh? Now, think about that. I'll tell you a story. Huh? One time, I listened to this old tape, one of the tapes Ted had. There was a missionary. I forget what country they were in. He was over there with his wife and his children. I don't know how many children he had. And there was a civil war going on over there in that country. And anyway, they were warned that they had to leave the village and get away for safety. And they told them, don't drink the water, because the enemy will poison the water that they would be drinking out of. They poisoned it. And anyways, he said they packed all their things up. They handed out. And he said they were so thirsty and hungry, huh? They was traveling to get away into safety, and I don't know how old his little girl was, huh? Under the age of accountability, maybe 8, maybe 7. She was so thirsty, and she said she reached down in that water in that pit, that stream, and took a drink of water. He said it didn't take much, but much longer after that, she fell over dead and died. And this missionary, huh, took his little girl, and he buried her right there in the sand,
Had prayer over her, probably, I don't know, And buried her there, and gathered the rest of his family, and headed on, to safety. And years later, can't think of his name, but my dad said under his preaching in revivals and camp meetings, I can't think of what his name was, a great preacher. He heard that story. And he came over to visit this man, and he said, "Hey, brother so-and-so, we'd like to dig up the remains of your daughter and bring her back to the States and give her a proper burial." He said, "Do you know where the spot's at?" He said, "Do you know where it's at?" He said, "I know exactly where it's at." But he's told that missionary, or that preacher, he said, "There's no need. God knows where she's at." And in the day, my friend, when Christ returns and the rapture takes place, God's not going to have any problem raising her body out of that sand. I want to tell you something. People take their ashes, throw them out to sea, bury them in, wherever they want to, or they're on a shelf. God's not going to have any problem pulling it all together and bringing them back. Amen? Hallelujah! Thank God for that! So when you think about that, how's God going to do it? Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. He's God, and there's nothing too hard for Him. Amen? Praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. I want you to think of that. Praise God. God predestinated us. He chose us. He adopted us. And He gave us an inheritance. We ain't there yet. I'll tell you what. My dad has inherited his inheritance. I wasn't there. Luke was being, Stephanie was getting ready to have Luke. But it was down there that evening. A lot of the family was gathered there. Me and Peggy, and the family was down at the hospital with Stephanie and Jonathan. Luke was just about to be born. My dad told the family, he said, "You know what?" He knew he was dying. It's just a matter of time. He said, "I lived for this day. I live to die for this day." What made him say that? Because he knew what lay ahead. Amen. Praise God.